rock is Jesus, yes, he is the one.
He's the one.
This rock is Jesus,
he
the only one.
Amen. Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you love us. Lord, I thank you that we have a church that we can come and worship you openly. Lord, thank you for forgiving our sins and forgiving us our failures. Lord, we love you and we ask that you will bless today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 180. When the roll is called up yonder.
When
the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. The burning breaks eternal and fair. When the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, glory of his resurrection share. The children of their over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Think of all his wondrous love and care. Then all the life is over and the work on earth is done. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to page 23. To God be the glory, number 23.
To God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. All of the glory great at dawn. Oh, perfect redemption, a purchase of God to every believer. The promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, the pardon received. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he had taught us, great things he had done, and great are are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Purer and higher and greater will be. Jesus, we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he had done.
Amen. Thank you for your standing. Thank you, Ms. Wendy. Glad everybody could be here today. All right. For the announcements, Wednesday, May 6th, Bible preaching and prayer and Patch Kids at 7. Saturday, May 9th, bus visitation, church-wide operation and saturation at 10. Sunday, May 10th, Mother's Day, special music, a message, and a gift for all the mothers. And that night we'll be having Lone Star Baptist College singing group. Sunday, May 17th is graduation Sunday. We will be recognizing all the graduates of 2026. And then that night we'll be having another teen fundraiser with silent auction and teen supper. May 24th, 4 p.m. After the afternoon service, we'll be going to Pastor's House or the Fellowship Hall, depending on weather. May 31st, that's Sunday, senior campers will be leaving for camp immediately after lunch. And then that June 1st through the 5th, it will be youth camp. So make sure we pray for them, and please remember to pray for the prayer requests on the back. All yours.
Good morning. Welcome to our adult Sunday school class. We are in the book of Luke today, and let's see, get my notes out here because I do have some notes today. Luke chapter 5. Well, I hope you all had a good week. A lot of things happens, it seems like. I just can't remember them all. But anyway, here in the Luke chapter 5, where we're at this morning, and we're going to be looking here starting with verse 27. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting in the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. We're going to be looking at this just for a minute here. I told you last week I'd give you a little bit more information about Matthew. He's one of although he wrote the Gospel of Matthew, there's not a whole lot said in the Gospels about him. Majority of the places where he is mentioned is in the listing of the apostles. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 3, it lists the apostles there. Mark chapter 3 in verse 18, Luke chapter 6, matter of fact, we're going to try to get to that part this morning and talk a little bit about those apostles. Luke chapter 6 in verse 15, and then in Acts chapter 1 in verse 13. That's where we find Matthew. Before we get into this discussion, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne, we are thankful that we do serve a great God. We're thankful, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace, your patience with us. Lord, we know that you're a God Lord, is patient. And Father, I'm thankful for that. And Father, I ask that you just be with us today. Give us guidance and direction in your word. Lord, I pray that you just be with each person here today, that they come to Sunday school class, that they might receive something of your word, Lord, that they'll be able to use the rest of the week. Father, I ask that you would help us as the pastor comes and he preaches, that, Lord, our ears might be open, that we'd be able to receive that word. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts to convict us, that we might be able to turn away from the sin that we have. For, Lord, we know all of us are sinners. We have problems. And, Father, we know you're a good God that loves us and are patient with us. Father, we just ask that you be with all the service today. We ask in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. So here in Matthew, talking about Matthew, we find out that he is the author of the Gospel of Matthew. So I'd just like to look at some things here in that Gospel. Let me tell you a little bit about Matthew here. I did write some things down because I went into Fox's Book of Martyrs. And as I said last week, I think it was Matthew Henry in his commentary said there wasn't much about Matthew. As a matter of fact, he said that he did not think that Matthew died a martyr's death. Now, when I went but he said other people believe something different, traditions and things like that have been, but for some reason, Matthew Henry didn't think he died a martyr's death. But anyway, in looking into the Fox's Book of Martyrs, find out there that it tells us a little bit about Matthew. We're going to look at that here. Let me just read the rest, we already read that verse of Scripture, verse 57 there, or 27. It tells us here in this Scripture that Lord saw the publican, or at least Luke here, he says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican. That means he was a tax collector, and named Levi. Interesting. Levi is mentioned here in his name being Levi mentioned here in Luke, also in Mark. Matthew doesn't mention it. Matthew talks very little about himself, but there's some interesting things about Matthew. As it says here, he was a tax collector. Fox's Book of Martyr says he was here it says in this verse it says he was a receipt of customs. Now, in Fox's Book of Martyr, it details that a little bit more and said he was a toll collector. In other words, as just like today, when you're driving a semi truck or something, you go through things and you have to pay a toll fee. It's like a turnpike or whatever. A toll fee needs to be paid. Different things. There's taxes, toll taxes, all kinds of things. But whatever it was, that was the kind of money he was gathering. Wasn't necessarily being like Zacchaeus, who was a personal tax collector, went to people's places of business and different things like that and collected taxes from them. But he was a toll collector, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anyway, so he was a collector of taxes. Interesting thing, Fox's Book of Martyrs, I'll get that out in a little bit. My tongue is just a little thick today for some reason. Want to get him boxes and foxes. And anyway, so in that in Fox's book, he says that he tells us that Matthew was born in Nazareth. I don't know if we've seen anything, but we do know that Jesus lived in Nazareth and where they were at, and they were in this particular part of the country, and he'd been there. As a matter of fact, he started his first message that Jesus, we looked at that a few weeks ago, that he taught. He was in Nazareth, when he told them, actually, it was chapter 4, and he said that he read the scripture mission, what the Lord had sent him to do. There at verse 18 of chapter 4 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So we've already read that. We've looked through that. So that was in Nazareth. Guess what? Matthew was born in Nazareth. He probably lived around that area. And here in, I think he's in Capernaum at this time, as the Lord was there. But this is where he was collecting taxes. It was his place of business, where he did the tolls or whatever it was. I'm sure that he was some sort of accountant type guy. But of course, he was a publican. That Martin, and you have to remember this, he was a Jew first. He was a Jew. Matter of fact, his name being Levi makes it, and what's understood is that he was of the tribe of Levi. And so that meant that he was one of those, you look in the Old Testament, that was responsible for the tabernacle and all the things there, all the things that were done there. You might remember when we first started looking in the book of Luke, that there was another Levi, and that was to the first Zacharias and Anna. And it says of Zacharias and Anna that they were, let's see if I can find that real quick. It says a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abed, and his wife and daughter, his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And the Bible tells us that they were holy people. They were separated to God and all these things. Well, Matthew, in his in writing of the Gospel of Matthew, it's interesting, I didn't realize this, but he wrote it in Hebrew. It's one of the things about the Gospel of Matthew. We'll just take a little bit of time to look at the Gospel of Matthew this morning. He presents Jesus as the king, as the king. Now, at the end of the Old Testament, we find, you know, Malachi, and Malachi is telling of the Savior coming, and these things, and he's talking, that's Old Testament, to start the New Testament, we find the first book, and it always, in all the writings, at least according to Matthew Henry, they always started with the Gospels with Matthew. He's the first one. Why? Because he translates well from the Old Testament, which was in Hebrew. He's going to start this, writing it in Hebrew, because he was a Levite, and he knew Hebrew, and he knew it well. And when we look at the book of Matthew, of course, we're looking at book of Luke. That's what we're reviewing. But since Luke brought it up, we're going to bring up Matthew here for a little bit. But in the book of Matthew, if you want to outline the book, it's very simple. It only has three really main parts in it. First of it, and the thing is, he's presenting Jesus Christ as king, that Malachi had been talking about. He's going to present him in as a king. And the first thing is Jesus, the son of David. What's he start out with? He starts out with the genealogies showing that Jesus was the son of David. And it goes through the genealogy from Abraham. It says, matter of fact, he starts out in verse 1, says, and the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. the first verse. And then he goes and lists all these people. So his genealogy starts out, the first big subject is Jesus, the son of David. Matthew 1 through Matthew 25, 46. That is almost all the gospel of Matthew. He's talking about Jesus being the son of David. He is the king. And as we go through this, you'd be able to see that he points out every time Jesus Christ is the king. He is the Messiah. And that's what amazing. The Lord knew who to pick as his disciples. Here was a man that was a Hebrew, but he was a publican. Most likely, since he was a publican, he was offensive to many people because he was a tax collector, because of his job. But, you know, God led Matthew into this job. I gave him a means of income or whatever it was. I don't know why he didn't stay with the Levite and stay in doing the things, the customs, and he may have, just because they were had customs to be able to carry certain things. They didn't do that every day. That wasn't a job. They had to come in and do that as a service for the tabernacle or for the temple. In the days of the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle, remember they had to round everything up, carry it, take it down, set it back up. That was kind of a lot of work. Once they had the temple, it was in place that Solomon had built, and what of course it had been rebuilt after it got torn down, and Nehemiah's time and Zechariah's time, they rebuild the temple. And so this is, and then the Herod's temple was built, but anyway, the temple was set up. There wasn't much a lot of service all the time to have to go and to be there. So he took a job as a publican, a tax collector. I'm sure that he probably had a good understanding of numbers and different things like that. The interesting thing I also read, I think it was maybe in Matthew Henry, that as far as numbers go, when we look at the book of Mark, talks about numbers, most of the time he talks about mites, the smaller denomination. When you go to Luke, who is a physician, he talks a little bit more about the next coins. I can't remember what, it slipped my mind there. But anyway, when you go to Matthew, he's the one that talks about the talents. It's the big money. And so if you're looking at money, and if you're reading through the gospel and you see that mite, or you see the talent or the pounds, maybe that's what it was, talents, then pounds, it tells you what gospel you're in, actually. Because Matthew was, when he talked about money, he talked about the big money. Anyway, so, and as we look through here. But the interesting thing is, from chapter 1 to chapter 25, he's talking about Jesus being the son of David, the king, presenting him as the king. Just to break that down a little bit, the genealogies, birth and infancy of Christ is there. The interesting thing about the infancy that is only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew is, in that Gospel, the only place we find the wise men coming. And what did they bring? Frankincense, myrrh, gold. You know, that's Matthew. That's the thing. And of course, he was a toll collector, so he knew when those guys came into town. He may have not been actually born yet at that time, but anyway, at the birth of Christ, probably pretty close to that. He might have been around the same age as the Lord. But and then after that, in the gospel, he presents Jesus as the king, and the kingdom presented. Jesus presenting his kingdom to the Jews. And also in those 25 chapters, you find out they reject him. And then the other thing they find in those 25 chapters is in the new message of the king. We're going to be looking at that a little bit in Luke's gospel this morning, the new message. Interesting. And then, of course, Matthew speaks a lot about it. The mystery of the kingdom and the ministry and the rejection of the king. Again, that's in chapters 1 through 25. And the king will be will return in power and glory. All of that is talking about the king. And then the second part, Jesus being presented as David, the son of David. Then the next thing that he presents him in Luke, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 1 through 27, that's 26, 22, that's two chapters. He mentions Jesus, the son of Abraham. Interesting, right? Because he presents him as a sacrificed lamb. And that's what he talks about in those chapters about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Abraham's sacrifice. As Isaac was lifted up, as Isaac was was going to be killed, executed there, Abraham was going to slay his son. God provided him a lamb, and so he gives that example in Matthew chapter 26 and 27, and then in Jesus, the last thing, Jesus is presented as the Son of God. And he does that in one chapter, the 28th chapter. That's where we find the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's showing that not only is he the son of David, the son of Abraham, but he's also the Son of God. And when you read through the genealogies, you'll see that. He pronounces him as the Son of God. And the resurrection proves that. And of course, the last part of that, at the end of chapter 28, we have the Great Commission. He says, "I am with you always." And so he presents himself that way. That's the book of Matthew in a nutshell. Now there's 28 chapters there, a lot of reading and different things, but it tells you a little bit more about Matthew. Matthew, like I said, he was a Levite. He wrote the book of Matthew in Hebrew, which went from Malachi to Matthew now. He's having the change. But we know that the Gospel of Matthew is also in Latin. An interesting thing, Fox's, I don't know why I keep calling him Box, but anyway, he's Fox. Fox's Book of Martyrs here says he wrote it in Hebrew, but it was translated. I guess it was one of the first Gospels that was translated. It's the first Gospel translated, but it was translated into Greek. So the New Testament is Greek. You know, a lot of times in studying it, matter of fact, studying Greek and different things like that, they look to Matthew, and then you can also trace it in the Hebrew. So it's interesting that the Lord did that for a reason. So it connected the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so the Lord's working in Matthew's life. And of course, the thing I was wanting to find out about Matthew, what happened to him? Because we don't see anything in the book of Acts that tells us a whole lot about Matthew. So according to the Fox's Book of Martyr, I got it out, Fox's Book of Martyr, he lived in Pakata and Ethiopia. Now, the peculiar thing, this is many years ago. When I looked in Matthew Henry, he was talking of him going to Turkey. I guarantee you, Ethiopia is a different direction. It was south, the other was north. I don't know, but we don't know exactly where he was, and that's a reason why that because of the name was so familiar with people. Matthew and Levi, both of the names were very common. So you don't know what person they followed. You know, as they, historians were looking to say, I'm not a historian. I don't go back into that. And I say, Lord, that's in the past. I'm more concerned about the future, where I'm going. But anyway, that's what Fox's Book of Martyrs said. And later he said, they say he suffered martyrdom in Nabatha, a small country in somewhere, I don't know where. But it said he was slain with a halberd, whatever it was. What that is, I did look it up, because I didn't, what is that, you know, wasn't familiar. If you've gone out here to the Renaissance thing that they had at the Sedgwick County Park a few weeks ago, the halibut was a weapon used in the 15th and 16th century, very much in Germany and different places. It was a real weapon. It was sometimes it was as much as 6 foot long. Others were only 3 feet long, but they. If you could see my little pictures I drew here, what it looks like it has an axe head on one side, a hook on the other side, and a spear in at the top of it. It's kind of like a bayonet on top of a rifle. You could go that way and slide up, and you know, different things like that. And this was that, and also had this very sharp hook on the side, so they could whack it on the side and kill many ways with this. But according to Fox's Book of Martyr, they said that's how he was slain. He was killed a martyr's death. But we don't know that for sure. It's not in the scriptures. It's one of those things we see. But then back into our text this morning. So we learned a little bit more about Matthew here. And the interesting thing about Matthew, I find out anyway, is that I don't know when he met Jesus, what he heard about Jesus. I believe he did hear, because of where he's working. He probably heard a lot of things about what was going on and different things like that. But I do know one thing. The Savior came by. Jesus came by and spoke two words to him. Follow me. Follow me. And he says, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. I think that we look at that, and I believe that Matthew had an experience sometimes, or heard something about the Lord Jesus Christ to impact his heart. I believe the Holy Spirit working. We've got a great God and the Holy Spirit. He works in our hearts and things, and he touched his heart enough that when the Lord said, knew who he was, and heard what he told him, asked him to do, to get up and to leave all, and he stood up and he followed him. He followed him. And the Lord, like I said, he spoke just those two words, follow me, and he says, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. And not only did he follow him, he did something for the Lord. He was immediately, his heart was gracious, because he prepared a feast. He prepared a feast. And we find that in the next few verses. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But there are scribes and Pharisees murmuring against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? It gives Jesus an opportunity to explain some things to them. And in the next few verses, in the rest of this chapter, that's what he's going to explain to them. And we went through this a little bit last week and everything, but this feast was very special. I think it was yesterday at bus visitation or soul winning. Philip had a good lesson and a message there on the feast. This feast is a little different than the ones he was talking about. It's found in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, and I think it's in Matthew chapter 18, 19, somewhere around there, that talks about the feast. Those are a little bit different feasts. This was just a feast that he put together, or probably a little bit quicker, and had a lot of people there, but he just invited a lot of people to see. I believe he invited his friends and stuff so that they might hear Jesus, and they might find out what he's all about. And he invited his friends. You know, there's a lot of ways of winning people to Christ. And I think there's the times that we fail to use our abilities to win others. One way of doing that is inviting somebody out to eat with you. It seems like when we eat, our mouths move. You know, I don't know, we're eating food or so, whatever. But anyway, we talk about things. We talk about things, and it's a good opportunity to present Christ. And I believe in this process, this is what Matthew's has done. But he also, as he had this feast, and it's amazing to me that he invited a company of other publicans, and others sat down with him, with them. So some of these others that sat down with him were Pharisees. Pharisees, and they, as soon as they seen all these sinners in this area, they began to kind of question, what's this guy doing? This is not the way we do things. They were thinking of a feast like the presented in chapter 12 and verse also in Matthew's gospel, the feast. It was a special presentation, but anyway, they've got a lot of people here. They're eating. And so Matthew went out of his way to show kindness to these people. Also, he went out of the way to show the Lord how much he cared for him. And so we see that the Pharisees, they murmur. That's their business. It seems like when you ever look in the Bible, it doesn't seem like too far away. If it says Pharisee, you're going to see the word murmuring. I mean, that's just what they did. They complained about everything. Sometimes they even complained about all the things that they had to do, you know, prayer, a lot of prayers and all these things, and they kind of murmured about them even. But you'll see that in the scriptures. You read in your Bible, it might be a good idea to look down and see scribes and Pharisees and see how far down the line you're going to find the word murmuring. They are always complaining, it seems like. And so, Jesus, they asked a question, but Jesus has the answer. He always has an answer for us. It amazes me sometimes when I have a question and I say, Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But, you know, I'll look in the Word of God. Sometimes it's not always something plain. Sometimes the Lord just tells me, be still and know that I'm God. And he just tells us, just don't care about it. You can pray about it and all these things, but I'm God. I'll take care of it. There's a lot of things in our lives that come up that way that you just have to turn over to the Lord. And then it says here, and Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. So it tells them exactly who he's looking for. He's looking for those that are willing to repent, willing to repent. And so tells them here. It goes on to say in verse 33, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of, and then, of course, they come back with their question. They have a question. They say, why do the disciples of John fast often and pray? And like the disciples of the Pharisees, that's what we do. We fast often, we pray, then they mumble about it, gripe about it. But anyway, they said, but thine eat and drink. And the Lord had a very simple explanation for him in verse 34. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Nothing, the Lord's saying here, there's nothing wrong with fasting. And there's times when you need to fast. There's problems that come up in your life. And I'll tell you, one of the times when I know to fast is when the things are overwhelming me and I can't figure things out. I'm searching the scriptures. It's a good time to stop eating. It's just a good time to turn my back on the things of this world and fast. Matter of fact, when you get into the book of Acts, and we've already been through the book of Acts, you'll find out that the apostles fasted when they had issues with something. And so he's not telling there's nothing wrong with fasting here or anything, but he says there's a difference here. They're with the bridegroom. They are the children with the bridegroom. And when you're with the bridegroom in the bridal party, they don't fast. They celebrate. It's a feast. And that's what he was telling them. And then he gives the parable. We looked at this a little bit last week. And it says here in the next verse, and he spake also a parable unto them. Sometimes when the Lord said something and he seemed they had a question in their mind and they were still questioning what he was saying, then he would go to a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. There's a reason why he's doing this. And a lot of times I read through this parable last week, and we'll read it again here. It says in verse 36, and he spake also a parable unto them. No man putting a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. He tells them it just doesn't work. You don't do it that way. And then and he says in verse 37, and no man putting new wine into an old bottle, else the new wine will burst the bottle, and he spilleth, and the bottle is shall perish. But new wine must be put into a new bottle, and both are preserved. No man also, having drank the old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. Now, this parable is not about the cloth or the wine bottle. Sometimes we get trying to figure all that out and everything, and we miss the whole point. The point of this parable is the word new, It's a change he's talking about. They're talking about this as he's talking to the Pharisees. He said he came not as a physician, but looking for those that are sick, the sinner. And he says, I come not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. That's what he's told them there, but they're not catching it. So he's telling them there's something new happening here. The Old Testament, so we talked about Matthew, Malachi, in there, this was the law. Now you're going to learn to live under grace, something new. And that's what the Lord was showing them here, his grace of God, that he doesn't take and try to make something out of the Old Testament. He's not trying to put his teaching into the Old Testament. He's making it new. And that's what we need to realize. We don't live under law. We live under grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that parable, I know, as I read through here, and I did it many times, and I looked in different places, but really, as I looked through the last week, and I caught that word new. That's what he's talking about here. These Pharisees, Matthew had a change in his heart. He changed. the man that was a publican and collecting taxes and everything, he changed and he followed Jesus. He made a difference. And sometimes it's a big change in people's lives. And so he had a change. These people that were coming here, the Lord was talking about them as being sick. The other publicans and the Pharisees and scribes that were sitting there, he considered them sick. They had not got the cure yet. They hadn't got the cure yet. Just like Matthew talked about, they hadn't realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of David. And he also was the son of Abraham, and he's also the son of God. John's Gospel, chapter 1, says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what happened. There was a change. Grace has come along, and the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, we find him saying that he's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's what he's showing them here. There's something new taking place. And then in today's lesson, as we get here at the end of time, but chapter 6, it says, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath. In other words, he had been around a couple of weeks here. He talking to him, and people had heard. It doesn't really say in Luke's part here what all happened about that, how they separate. They just went away with a new understanding. Hopefully, the scribes, the Pharisees, and all the publicans that were sitting there, that they got a new understanding of Jesus Christ, what he's come for, and he's bringing something new to them. And it says, after the second Sunday there, or second Sabbath, he went through the field of corn, and his disciples plucked the head of the corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye this? This is which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. So he's going to bring up, here's the Pharisees again, bringing up something out of the Old Testament, bringing up the law, and trying to get Jesus, questioning him, and why are they doing this? And Jesus answered, like I said, Jesus always has an answer. He says, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was hungered, and they which were with him, how that he went into the house of God and did take and eat of the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priest only. We're going to look at this. We're looking at it next week. Look in the story in the Old Testament and see what the real price of that was. And he, David did that. You know, in this particular time, in the Old Testament, there was a cost to David's action on this. We'll look at that next week, because this priest and his whole family are slaughtered by Saul. And because of what David did. And David regrets that later. In some of the Psalms, you can see that. But anyway, we'll look at that next week. We had a good class here this morning, so I pray. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God. Lord, we ask now that you would be with the pastor as he comes and opens the word to us this morning. Lord, that we would hear from you. Lord, we need to hear from you today. We have our problems, we have our cares, and Father, I pray that you come and to meet with us, that your Holy Spirit would talk to us. Lord, it can only happen when we open our hearts to you. Lord, when we open and say, Lord, teach me today. Father, I pray that you just give us guidance and direction as the preacher comes. Lord, are you hiding behind the cross? that your word might be lifted up. Because we know, Lord, when Christ is lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. And Father, I ask that you just be with us this morning. Give us guidance and direction now in the service to come. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.